We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud. We are in a new masechet now. We are in Masechet Nazir, Daf Gimel, and we are six lines from the top, in the middle of the line, Hareni Kazeh. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Zion ben Shalom, Reuven ben David, Yosef ben Tamara, Rav Shalom Cohen ben Tfach Hamalka, Yair ben Tova, Naim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, Eta Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Dvorah, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sara, Luba bat Mazal, Lea bat Rachel, and Gabriela Masuda bat Sara, Lema Shalom. Also Lizchut, Refuah Shlema, for Aaron Yitzchak ben Brina, Vamin Aviva, Moshe ben Chana, Yaakov Yisrael Yochai ben Beloria, Yaakov Yisrael Mechor ben Marusia, Esther bat Sara, Geras Tova bat Chana, and Chana bat Sulika, for Refuah Shlema. So, on Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, six lines from the top, the Gemara now addresses the case that is mentioned in the Mishnah. If a person says, Hareni kazeh, hare ze nazir, if he says, I am like this, that already is a yad, which is a valid yad of an acceptance of nazirut. So the Gemara asks, Nehi nami de tafus bisaro, even if you want to tell me that the Mishnah is referring to a case where he's holding on to his hair, as we explained in the previous case in the Gemara. Right? When he said, Ehye na'e. But in this case where he says, Hareni kazeh, Hareni kazeh lo amar. Now, the Girsa, according to Tosfot, we should read, Hareni nazir lo amar. It means like this, even if you want to say he's holding on to his hair, but he didn't say Hareni nazir. This that he says, Hareni kazeh, I am like this while holding on to his hair. What does that mean? It has no meaning in itself. How do we know that that means nazirut? He didn't say Hareni nazir after all. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Kegon Shaya Nazir Over Lefanav. Here too, it's talking about that a Nazir was passing before him, and he said the words, Hareni Kazeh, I am like this one. So that's when we hear from his words that he means to say, I shall be a Nazir like that person. And in this case, even if he's not holding on to his hair, this would be enough of an intimation that he means to accept Nazirut upon himself. Next case in the Mishnah, Hareni Mesalsel. I am curling my hair. That's all he said. The Mishnah said, Hare ze Nazir. So now the Gemara asks, Mimai dehaden silsul sara? How do we know that this term, if he says Mesalsel, how do we know curling, he means curling hair? How do we know that this term is referring to growing his hair out like a Nazir? All he said was Mesalsel. So the Gemara answers, Kede amra lehahi amata de Rabbi Lahu Gavra. Like we know from the maidservant of the house of Rabbi Udanasi that she said to a certain person who grew his hair long, and she told him, Ad matai ata mesalsel bisarecha. Till when are you curling your hair? So from here we see that the word silsul is used for hair, for curling long hair. So the Gemara says, but still, Ema Torah, maybe we can use this same word of silsul for Torah. Maybe he's referring to the study of Torah. After all, Dichtiv, as it says in the Pasuk in Mishle Perek Dalet, Salseleha Utromemeka, exalt the Torah, praise the Torah, and it will exalt you, it will lift you up. So when he says Areni Mesalsel, maybe he's referring to the Torah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Hachanami Shetafus Bisaro. In this case too, you have to explain that the Mishnah is talking about that he's holding on to his hair. And therefore, when he says Areni Mesalsel, it means it's an intimation that he's referring to his hair, to grow his hair long as a Nazir. The next case in the Mishnah, Hareni Mechalkel. I am hereby growing my hair. Once again, the Gemara asks, Mimai dehaden kilkul se'arohu. How do we know that this term of kilkul, with a kaf, is referring to growing his hair bedavka? Answers the Gemara, keditnan. As we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat, it states there, seed, regarding the carrying out lime, seed, on Shabbat, from Rishut Achid into Rishut Arabim. Over there, the Mishnah is talking about what amount, what measure, of carrying certain items makes a person liable for a korban chatat, that it's considered the melacha of carrying. So each item is explained in the Mishnayot there to have a different type of measurement of how much, what is the minimum amount that a person has to carry of that item in order for it to be considered a melacha of hotza'ah, of carrying. So when it comes to seed, when it comes to lime, it states there, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kede lasud kilkul, enough lime to spread on one's kilkul. And what does that mean? Ve'amarav bat tzida. It's referring to the hair that grows on the sides, on the areas beneath the temples. So you see that the word kilkul is used for hair. So the Gemara asks, but ema mezan aniye. Maybe he's referring, maybe he actually means to make a neder to sustain the poor, to give mezonot to the aniyim, by saying hareni mechalkel kedichtiv, as it says in Parashat Vayigash, Vaychalkel Yosef et aviv et echav, and Yosef sustained, like parnasa vechalkala, he sustained his father and his brothers. So maybe he means hareni mechalkel is promising to give parnasa to the poor. That's a good question. And once again, Amar Shmuel, Hachana mishetafus b'se'aro. Here also, you have to say that this person we're talking about is holding on to his hair when he made this announcement, so that it's clear that he was referring to growing his hair. Now, the next case in the Mishnah, Hareni are alai leshaleach pera. I am accepting upon myself to grow, leshaleach, to grow pera, long hair. That's an acceptance of nezirut. So the Gemara asks, "Mimay dehaden shiluach ribuyahu?" How do we know that this term leshaleach is an expression of ribuy, of increase and growth and growing out a lot? How do we know that? The Gemara answers, "Dichtiv shelachayich pardes rimonim." It says in Shir Hashirim Perek Daled, "Shelachayich pardes rimonim." The children that grow from you, shelachayich, those that grow, that are born from you, that grow from you, should be like pardes rimonim, like an orchard of pomegranates. So you see, shelachayich is a lashon of growth, and therefore, leshaleach pera means to grow the hair. The Gemara asks, eima mide de'avore, maybe it's referring to a matter that involves transferring. Maybe it's talking about that he's actually accepting upon himself to remove, to transfer his hair. That means to remove his hair. Kedichtiv, as it says, Vesholeach Maim al Pene Chutzot. It says in Iyov Perikhe, and he sends water upon the earth. Over there, Vesholeach is referring to transporting water from one place to another. So here also, maybe the person is making a neder that might mean to transfer, meaning to remove his hair. So the Gemara says, Tana pera pera yalif. The Tana of our Mishnah that says that the word leshaleach pera is referring to growing the hair for nezirut, derives the meaning of this term based on the gezerah shava of pera pera. It says the word pera regarding the nazir, and it says the word pera regarding the kohen gadol. Over here regarding the Nazir, it says, Kadosh Yehiyeh, he shall be holy, Gadel Pera, and he should let his hair grow. Uchtiv hatam gabe kohen ediot, and regarding the common kohen serving in the Beit HaMikdash, it says in Yechezkel Perek Memdalet, Ufera lo yeshalechu, and they will not let their hair grow long. So just as the word Pera, with regards to the Nazir, indicates growing long hair, so too in the case of the Kohen, it's referring to growing long hair. So this shows that the term shiluach over here means letting one's hair grow. So this was a gzera shava that we learned from the halachot of Nezirut to the halachot of Kohanim. And so we use the word pera pera to mean that just as by the Nazir, it indicates to grow long hair, so too by the Kohen, it's referring to growing long hair, which means that they shouldn't grow long hair, the Kohanim. So that shows us that the word leshaleach over here, leshaleach pera, means to let the hair grow. The Gemara gives another answer if you want. Hay sholeach ma'im nami ribuyhu. Even that pasuk which you asked from, the pasuk from Iyo, v'sholeach ma'im al penei chutzot, which we asked, it seems like sholeach can be used as a term for transferring, for removing. The Gemara says, no, sholeach ma'im is also a term that is used in that pasuk for increase and growth. Kedemetargem Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef translated that pasuk as follows, dekadmashkin le'maya le'pera ve'rave, when one waters his produce and it grows. So you see that the pasuk is referring to growth by means of water. So even from that pasuk, we can see that shiluach refers to growing. So in our case, it means growing out the hair. Now the Gemara will deal with the last part of our Mishnah. Hare alai tziporim. If let's say a person said, I'm hereby obligated with regards to birds. That's all he said. So here we have a machloket. Rabbi Meir omer nazir. Rabbi Meir says that's a valid acceptance of nazirut, and Chachamim argue and say he's not a nazir. So the Gemara wants to explain the machloket. Ma'i tama de Rabbi Meir? What's the reason of the opinion of Rabbi Meir? Amar Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish says, tziporin semuchim le'se'ar kibel alav. When he said, Are alai tziporim, he accepted upon himself an obligation regarding the birds that are smuchim le'se'ar, that are juxtaposed in a pasuk to hair. And he brings the pasuk, dichtiv, it says in Daniel Perik Dalet, Adi sa'areh kenishrin reva v'tifrohi ketziporin, until his hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like the claws of birds. So we see in the pasuk over here that there is a juxtaposition, there is a smichut between birds and growing hair. It says sa'are, and it says kenishrin, like eagles' feathers. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, that's why we can understand that when this person said, Hare alai tziporim, he's referring to growing his hair as a nazir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir savar, Rabbi Meir holds, matpis inish bemide desmichle. A person associates the object of his neder with something that is juxtaposed to it in a pasuk. So when he says, Hare alai tziporim, he means that he is obligated upon growing his hair, which was juxtaposed in the pasuk to birds. So according to Rabbi Meir, a person does refer to things like that. Interesting thing. I guess a Jew is expected to have psukim fluent, so fluent that when he refers to something that is mentioned close to another thing in a pasuk, we say that's what he's referring to. And so Rabbi Meir says, "Matpis inish b'midi desmichle." A person does associate in his acceptance of an eder, or in this case of nezirut, something that is close to another word, juxtaposed to another word in a pasuk. So when he says "Are alei tziporim," he means the tziporim that are juxtaposed to growing hair in the pasuk of Daniel. V'Rabbanan savri. However, Rabbanan who argue, they say no. Lo matpis inish b'midi desmichle. A person doesn't associate necessarily the object of his neder with something that is juxtaposed to it in a pasuk, and so we don't say that he meant to take a neder of nezirut. Therefore, this is not a lashon of nezirut. To say are alai tziporim is not a valid expression of a neder of nezirut. So that is the explanation that that Resh Lakish gives us in the machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. However, Rabbi Yochanan argues with this explanation. Rabbi Yochanan amar dekule almalot lo matpis. Really, everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Meir agrees that a person is not matpis. He doesn't associate the object of his neder with something that is juxtaposed in the pasuk. Rather, what is the machloket between them? Elahainu tama de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, this is his reasoning. Dechayshinan shema tzipore nazir tame kibel alav. We're concerned, maybe accepted upon himself the birds of the korban of a nazir who became tameh. An impure nazir has to bring two birds as a korbanot if he beshogeg, if he inadvertently became impure from a dead body. So now, when the person accepts upon himself an obligation that pertains to birds, he means that he's becoming a nazir, which means he will be responsible for bringing a korban of birds if he becomes tameh. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that according to Rabbi Meir, Chayshinan, we are concerned that maybe that's what he meant. When he said, Arei alai tzipurim, he meant to say, I am accepting upon myself nezirut, which means that if I will become tameh, I will be obligated in bringing two tzipurim. So the Gemara asks, michti chayshinan ka'amar. It seems that Rabbi Yochanan is saying here that even according to Rabbi Meir, we're concerned that the person intended to become a nazir. But it's not for sure, it's not clear that this was his intention, right? Because you could argue, Dilma tzipurin edava kibel alav, maybe he accepted upon himself a gift offering of birds as a korban ola, as ola ta'of. Maybe he accepted upon himself a regular korban. Who said he accepted upon himself nezirut? Right? So Rabbi Yochanan, you're explaining that Rabbi Meir says chayshinan. We say maybe he meant, that's why he's a nazir. But there's a possibility that he didn't mean that. Maybe he meant a different korban, a regular korban of birds. Imken hare alai ken mi bayis. So the Gemara says no. If that was so, if his intention was to bring a nedava, a gift offering of tzipurim of birds, then he should have said hare alai ken. It is hereby obligatory upon me to bring a nest, which is the common expression that is used to accept an obligation to bring a nedava of tziporim. But the Gemara continues to ask, v'dima, but maybe, hare alai tziporim etzora ka'amar. Maybe he's saying, I'm accepting upon myself to bring the tziporim, the korban of birds, of a metzora, which means that he is accepting upon himself to bring the korbanot of a leper, of a metzora, on his behalf. Meaning, even though he's not metzora, but he's saying, any metzora who has to bring those korbanot, I will bring it for him. Maybe that's what he meant when he said, Arei alai tzipurim. He meant tzipurim metzora. How do you know it means nezirut? Well, now the Gemara says, kegon shaya nazir over lefanav. The case of the Mishnah is talking about when a nazir was passing in front of him. And that's why we suppose that when he meant tzipurim, it's something that is related to nezirut, not to tzara'at. So the Gemara asks, v'dilma nazir tameh? Still, how do we know he's accepting nezirut on himself? Maybe once again, he's accepting upon himself to sponsor the korbanot of a nazir who is tameh, ulefotro min korbanotav ka'amar. And he has in mind to exempt the nazir from his korbanot. He'll do it on his behalf. Not that he accepted nezirut on himself. He accepted to give the korbanot of a nazir tameh on his behalf. Answers the Gemara, kegon shaya nazir tahor over lefanav. No, we're referring in the Mishnah to the case where a pure nazir was passing before him. So why would he be thinking about, you know, accepting upon himself the korbanot of a nazir tameh, a nazir that was tahor passed before him? And that's why we say that this expression of Arei alai tziporim, according to Rabbi Meir, is an acceptance of nezirut. So now we have here, so far, a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish as how to explain the opinion of Rabbi Meir. According to Resh Lakish, it's because a person is matpis, he associates the item of his neder with something that is written close to something else in a pasuk. Matpis inish b'mide desmichle. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, no. The reason is because when he says tziporim, we are concerned that maybe he means tzipore nazir. Okay? So the Gemara asks, my benayu, what is the nafkamina, what is the practical difference between the opinions of Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? After all, according to both of them, bottom line, these words are acceptance of nezirut, according to Rabbi Meir. So what's the difference if the reason is because the word tziporim is juxtaposed to se'ar, to hair in a pasuk, or the reason is because, you know, tziporim is a korban of the nazir tameh, right? So what my benayu, what is the nafkamina between them? What's the difference, what the reason is? Ika benayu, the Gemara says, the practical difference between them is, kegon, in a case, the amar, tziporina smuchim le-se'ar alai. The tziporim, the birds that are juxtaposed in the pasuk to hair, is upon me. So now, le-Rabbi Yochanan, afal gav de-amar hachi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if he says that, it's only in azir over lefanav in ilolo. It still has to be that if an azir is passing before him, then we take it as an acceptance of nezirut. But if an azir was not passing before him, that's still not enough of reason to say that he accepted Nazirut. L'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, but according to Resh Lakish, afalgav de Nazirut, der lefanav, even if the Nazir is not passing before him, still the fact that he said, Sipurim asmuchim le'se'ar alai, he means Nazirut. So the Gemara is asking, Mi ika leman de'amar lo matpis inish be'milta dismichle? Are you telling me that there is an opinion that says that that a person does not associate the object of his neder with something that is juxtaposed to it in a pasuk? It appears to be that that's something that everyone agrees with. V'hatanya, as we learned in a braita, didn't we learn in a braita, ha'omer yamin harezo shevua, a person who says the word yamin, which means right, well, that's an expression of a shevua. Why is that? Why is that an expression of an oath? My tama lab mishum dichtiv, isn't it because it says in Sefer Daniel in the pasuk in Perek Yudbet, vayarem yemino usmolo el hashamayim vayishava v'chei haolam. He lifted his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and he swore by Hashem who lives forever. So what do we see here? That the term yamin indicates a shvua, just because in the pasuk it's juxtaposed to a shvua. It says vayarem yemino, and it says vayishava. Right? And therefore, yamin harezo shevua. So, same thing should be by the case of se'ar and tziporim. Person who says, arei alai tziporim, well, it should be an acceptance of nezirut, because it's juxtaposed to the word se'ar, just like we see over here by yamin and shevua. Well, the Gemara says, no. Amri, lo. Mishum di yamin gufe ikri shevua. It's because the right hand itself is called a shevua, not because of a hekesh, not because it's samuch, it's juxtaposed to the word shevua. It's because the word yamin is called a shevua. Detanya, as we learned in the Braita, minayin laomer yamin shehi shevua. How do we know that the halacha is when one says his right hand, that's an expression of an oath? Shneimar nishba Hashem b'yimino. As it says in Yeshaya, Hashem has sworn by his right hand. Uminayin laomer semol shehi shevua? And how do we know that saying left is also considered a shevua? Sheneemar, as it says in the continuation of that pasuk, ubizroa uzo, and by the arm of his strength, which refers to smol, the left, which is gevurot. So therefore, what do we see from here? Both right and left themselves are expressions of shevua. It's not merely because they're juxtaposed in a pasuk to an expression of a shvuah, but because they themselves are a lashon of shvuah, and therefore you cannot compare that to the issue of tziporim and se'ar of nezirut, and that's why there you have a machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. The next Mishnah begins with the following: Hareni nazir minachar tzanim. If a person says, "I am a nazir," which I will refrain from chartzanim, from grape seeds. Or he says, I am a nazir min hazagin, I will refrain from grape skins. Or he says, I am a nazir min atiglachat, from shaving my hair. Or he says, umin atum'ah, from becoming impure with the dead body. Hare ze nazir, that is a valid acceptance of nazirut, and therefore he becomes a nazir, v'chol dikduke nazirut alav, and all the details of the prohibitions of Nezirut are incumbent upon him, which means not only does the Isur that he mentioned take effect, but now he's bound by all the Isurim of Nezirut. The Gemara begins by saying, Matnitin de lo ki Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Eno chayav ad sheyidor mikulam. A person is not obligated as an azir until he explicitly vows that all items and all actions that are forbidden by an azir are forbidden to him. If he just mentions one, then he's not an azir at all. V'rabbanan amri, Rabbanan, Chachamim argue, and they say, afilu lo nazar ila v'chad minhon, even if he only vowed to abstain from one of them, haven azir, he is an azir. So apparently our Mishnah is going like Chachamim, not like Rabbi Shimon. Now, my tama de Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason that Rabbi Shimon says what he says? Why does he say that you have to vow from all the Isurim in order to be a Nazir? Amar Kra, he says, because the Pasuk says in Parashat Naso, by the Parasha of Nezirut, Mikol asher ye'aseh migefen ayayin, mechartzanim ve'adzag. The pasuk says, "Mikol asher yaseh," from anything that is made of the gefen, of the grapevine, mechaltzanim ve'adzag, from pits to the grape skin. That indicates that the neder of nezirut has to include all the prohibitions of the nazir. Rabbanan, and what do Rabbanan say? My tama, what is the reason that they hold he becomes a nazir even if he only specified one of the prohibitions? Amarka miyayin veshechar yazir. The pasuk says he should abstain from wine and shechar and alcohol, which implies when this mem is a mi'ut, that implies even if one made a neder to abstain only from wine, all the halachot of nezirut take effect. So now the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Shimon nami haktiv miyayin v'shechar yazir." So what does Rabbi Shimon do with the pasuk miyayin v'shechar yazir, which sounds like even if he just mentioned yayin and shechar, that already makes him into a nazir? Rabbi Shimon, he needs that pasuk to tell us a different halacha. He learns from that pasuk of miyayin v'shechar yazir to prohibit the nazir from drinking wine of mitzvah, just like he's prohibited from drinking wine of reshut, that is optional. And what is the wine of mitzvah? Mahi kiddushta ve'avdalta, the wine of kiddush and havdala. In fact, the Gemara, however, is asking, what does this mean, le'eso yayin mitzvah? What is an example of yayin mitzvah? Mahi kiddushta ve'avdalta? Are you referring to the wine of kiddush and havdala? Well, then that doesn't make sense, as the Gemara asks on the top line of Daf Dalet, Hare mushba ve'omed alav mehar Sinai. Meaning to say, what's the chidush? What do I need to learn from the pasuk, miyayin v'shechar, to tell me that he's also forbidden from drinking the wine of kiddush? The wine of kiddush, that's something that is mide rabbanan. You know, mide oraita, kiddush can be done with words, to mention the kiddushah of Shabbat, and that's it. To mention it over wine and drinking the wine, that's only midrabanan. So then, hare mushba ve'omed me'ar Sinai, to keep the nezirut, to keep the promise of nezirut, that's something that a person is already obligated from Har Sinai. We swore in Har Sinai to keep all the mitzvot of the Torah. So obviously, he has to keep the nezirut, and he would not be allowed to drink the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah, because drinking the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah is only required midrabanan. So what do I need to learn from a special pasuk that, yeah, he will be forbidden from drinking the wine of Kiddush? That's obvious. Of course not. He made a neder of nezirut, which is midoraita, not to drink wine. Surely that will make it that he's not allowed to drink the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah, which is only an obligation midrabanan. So we're back to the question, Maihi, what are you referring to, Rabbi Shimon, when you say, Le'esor yen mitzvah ki yen arishut, Ela ki hada amar Rava. Rather, it's like what Rava said, Shvu'a she'eshte. Let's say a person made a shvu'a, he took an oath, she'eshte, that I will drink wine. Bechazam ve'amar areni nazir. And after that, he said, I am hereby a nazir. So Rava says, Atya nezirut chayla al shvu'a. Rava says the nezirut that he accepted is chal. It rests upon that which he made a shvu'ah about. It applies to the item of the shvu'ah. And therefore, although drinking wine is a mitzvah for him now due to his shvu'ah, when he said shvu'ah she'eshte, now he has a mitzvah de'oraita to drink wine, to keep his oath. But comes along the statement of areni nazir, his isur of nezirut supersedes the previous shvu'ah, and it renders it asur for him to drink wine. That's what Rabbi Shimon learns from the pasuk of miyayin v'shechar yazir le'esor yayin mitzvah ki yen reshut, that even if he swore to drink wine, if afterwards he took a neder of nezirut, that nezirut overrides the shvu'ah to drink wine. We'll continue one more line. V'rabbanan nami. So now the question is, according to Rabbanan, who argued with Rabbi Shimon, Hamibay le'esor yen mitzvah ki yen reshut. After all, yeah, we see, so we need this pasuk of miyayin v'shechar to teach us what we just learned, that the nazir will not be able to drink yen mitzvah, just like he's not allowed to drink yen reshut. So that pasuk is already taken for that. Why is it that the Chachamim learn from the pasuk, as we said before, miyayin v'shechar yazir, that even if he only specified one isur, he becomes a nazir with all the prohibitions? But that pasuk is taken to learn this halacha that we just learned of le'esor yen mitzvah ki yen reshut. The Gemara answers, imken, Rabbanan can tell you, imken, if it came to teach us only that, le'makra miyayin, the Torah could have just said miyayin. May v'shechar, why did the Torah add the word v'shechar? Shamat minatarti, that affords us to be able to learn both halachot from this phrase in the pasuk. Miyayin v'shechar, yazir, teaches me both halachot. Number one, that he's asur to drink yen mitzvah, just like he's asur to drink yen reshut. And it also teaches us what Rabbanan hold, that even if he just specified the isur of wine, he accepted upon himself and he becomes a nazir in regards to all the isurim, not like what Rabbi Shimon holds. We'll stop here and continue Be'ezat Hashem tomorrow.